The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We are back. A number of guests will join us in the second 2 hours. John Calipari joining us in just a few minutes, the legendary Kentucky basketball coach. And an hour from now, the legendary sports columnist from the Tuscaloosa News, Cecil Hurt. Let's continue with more of your phone calls. And Derek is in Los Angeles. Hello, Derek.
Hi, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
And shout out to the young man, John, who retired in Texas, who's an Ohio State fan. You made me laugh when you talked about beating Michigan, because I really think that that's going to be a close game. But either way, I hope, like I called earlier some weeks ago, I think that Jim Harbaugh belongs in the NFL, and I hope the Vikings or the Bears or the Raiders or the Miami Dolphins are able to look at him. But my question, I was going to ask you about gambling in sports, but I'm going to change that because Perkins called, and I think Perkins or Roy, one of them, Roy was the official. Perkins called about the safety. And it was really alarming when that golf ball almost hit Lane Kiffin. And my question to you, Paul, is it going to get to the point where to enter a stadium for a game is going to be like TSA going to an airport? I mean, does somebody have to get hurt or killed before the security is really tightened up? Because I know you have 100,000 people in these stadiums, but it was really alarming when that happened. And watching that game here in Los Angeles, I was like, wow, that was just unbelievable. So I just wanted your opinion
we've gone through this over the years. I think after 9/11, there was a lot of electronic surveillance, and we had to go through checks. That has lessened. And I do agree. I don't think anything that has happened since Saturday night is going to stop it from happening again. And quite frankly, I don't think the outrage has been very high. And the university, I think, outside of the president, had a fairly predictable and muted response. And I mean, I didn't see any anger or outrage from the head football coach. He almost seemed, I'm not putting words in his mouth, but, you know, he said the right things, but then he thanked the crowd for filling in the sections that filled up where the band left. I mean, that was not a defense. That was just basically playing. That was base politics.
But see, when a cheerleader or a band leader or even someone who's helping or giving water to the players gets hurt, and they get maimed, then they got to react, which kind of, that's really upsetting to me.
I mean, we are all very fortunate that nothing happened other than.
Yes.
Because fans, I don't want to say fans are different today, but there is more of an emotional involvement in terms of reaction, because we're all so used to and have a license to react. And what I mean by that is social media. That if I'm a fan and I don't like what you've said about my team, I can say anything I want about you. I'm letting it out. Maybe that's good. I used to joke back in the day that a program like this was good for college football as opposed to deleterious for college football, because people at least got it out of their system. It was cathartic. But if you're at a football game and it's a 4.5-hour game and you've had three 24-ounce beers, and all of a sudden you see something you don't like and somebody throws something out there, what are you going to do? I'm not trying to be a psychologist here, but when somebody does it tends to trigger a cell in your brain to go, you know what, I've got a Jack Daniels bottle here, I'll just go ahead and throw that myself.
You know what, Paul, you hit it right on the nail when you said about alcohol. And like I said, you know, people gamble on these games too. But sure. You hit it on the nail, and I want to thank you for taking my call. Thank you for John's retirement, the gentleman that coached for 30 years. These referees have it tough, but I'm going to go up on
the... Hey, by the way, Derek, you're right. It was like a three-point spread, too. That call cost Tennessee fans a lot of money.
Yes, yes. And I'm going to not let up the review. Some of these coaches in the review, I don't know what game they're watching. That's all I'm going to say.
No, listen, I'm going to make a vow to quit defending officials because I don't think people believe it anyway. So everyone knows, everyone's heard they do the best they can. I don't want them to do the best they can. I just want them to get it right.
Yes, I agree with you 100%. And yeah, thank you, sir, for taking my call.
Derek, thank you. Yeah, General Patton didn't tell his troops, just go out there and do the best you can, okay? No, go out there and win the war. And it's time officials start getting it right. And especially if you have a booth and a command center that will aid and abet you in getting it right. Abetting might not have been the right word there. Keith is up next in Knoxville. Hello, Keith.
Hey, Paul. It's been a while since I've called. I really haven't had a whole lot to talk about with Tennessee football. But I was in attendance with my family Saturday night at the Ole Miss game, and boy, it was something.
What was it like?
It was crazy. And I want to say, first of all, I'm going to preface what I'm about to say with, by no means do I agree with what was done with throwing things on the field. But the way that the night went, it was almost like a perfect storm for something bad to happen. Between the terrible calls, you know, from the refs, you know, a 4.5-hour game, you know, people being there a long time drinking, the behavior of some of the Ole Miss fans in our section was just terrible. We had Ole Miss fans in our section turning around, flipping us off, you know, blowing kisses at people. It was just an ugly atmosphere, even in the stands. So, you know, what I really want to talk about was the flopping, you know, the feigning of the injuries, you know, that prolonged the game so long. And to stop a tempo offense by telling somebody to fall down. And is college football ever going to do something to stop this?
Keith, it's another great question, and I'll let an official or an SEC person try to address that. But it's a very difficult thing to know when the person is truly fatigued or hurt, or whether they're flopping. It's a great question, though. Thanks for the call. Ron is in California. Hey, Ron, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Well, I just wanted. You were talking about great running backs not too long ago, and I want to add one more name, and that's Charlie Trippi from Georgia. Now, people probably won't remember him because he was back in the early 40s to the mid-40s. But I want to comment on what your last caller was talking about flopping. I went to LSU, and I remember one game when they were playing Tulane, and it was I forgot what the score was, but it was getting towards the end of the game. And then all of a sudden you saw about 4 or 5 LSU players that were down on the field, you know, pretending to be hurt. So that's been going on for a long time.
It's true. And I think it will continue to go on for an even longer time. We are heading to a break here. The man, John Calipari, will join us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome all of you back. Great to have you here. And we continue to build up toward basketball season. It's right around the corner. And we are just delighted to welcome from Lexington the head coach of the Wildcats, Coach John Calipari. Coach, it's great to see you again. We were up in Lexington two weeks ago, and people were pretty fired up, not only about basketball, but obviously about football. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about our football team? I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, in going to Georgia, that's a rock fight. You forget about execution. I mean, these are... And our team held their ground. I was so proud. I told Mark that. I wish we'd have executed better. Not in a rock fight. No, not in a rock fight.
Well, I've had a couple of conversations with you about football in the past. I know you're a big fan, but this time of the year, you as much as you would love to fixate on that, I know you're concentrating on basketball, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but the people we talked to while we were in Lexington 2 weeks ago were pretty excited about this team.
Well, we got a long way to go, but, you know, it's when you have some veterans, and I usually don't have many veterans. I'm saying we, you know, some kids that transferred in and some kids on in within the organization, in within the team. They know how to get ready for practice. They're on time for things. They do what they're supposed to. I kind of forgotten because I have all 17 and 18-year-olds. And you're almost teaching that stuff too. So the competitiveness, the guard play, the physicalness, the shooting, you know, we got a chance. But, you know, it's a long way away. We've had great practices. I'm happy that they're competing. You know, I'm stretching them out. My job is to make them uncomfortable. Their job is to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And so I'm kind of stretching them out a little bit.
Yeah, with your resume, and it's obviously, you know, Hall of Fame and one of the greats of modern basketball history, I wondered what last year was like for you, because it was a COVID year. It was everything was difficult. What did you, even at this stage of your storied career, take from that experience?
Well, I can tell you one thing. After we got started, and I put a stupid schedule together for a young team, after we got started, I stopped looking at schedule. I know everybody will say he's full of crap. I did not know we were 8-8 in the league until like 3 days ago. We were 8-8 in our league. I had no idea. I mean, all I worried about is keeping kids healthy, which meant we never came together. We never trusted. We were never together. They never came to my house. They never felt what it is to be a player here. We never had fans. Our fans carry us to wins. This program is as much about the fans as anything else. On the road, they're all sellouts on the road. We had none of that. I mean, it was, you know, it was one of those. But for me, it was a blip. I move on. You know, this team I'm coaching is like past teams, where every practice you're getting something out of it. Those are my best teams, the teams that win all the games and do the stuff that they've done. This team has the traits. Now you got to go do it, and everybody's out to get you. Every game we play is a Super Bowl. How about this, Paul? Teams that never thought they could beat us beat us a year ago. Now they think they can beat us. So now you're going in, them not thinking we can't win this game. We lost games in Rupp. We never lost games. We lost 4 games in 12 years at Rupp, or 11 years. We lost games in Rupp Arena. Now people that would think they got no chance think they can beat you. It's going to make it even harder for us.
Well, you're right, having said all that, you still made a run last year. That you had people going, well, all they have to do is win this and that, and they may get in, which was pretty remarkable considering where you were at one point.
Well, you know what? I was trying to convince them that we could do it, but I'm telling you again. The most important thing is in coaching is trust. Someone said, you know, they're looking at you. They got to trust what you're saying. I'll give you an example. I'm coaching Shea Alexander, and I'm not starting him early in the year. And I go up to him and I say, listen, kid, I know you should be starting. I'm feeling it now. He said, coach, stop. I trust you. Last year, 2 years ago, Emmanuel Quickley, Paul, he didn't start early. And it's his sophomore year. And he said, coach, I trust you. By the end of the year, he's player of the year, and we win the league by 3 games. That team could have won a national title, by the way. So now this team, we're trusting each other. They're at my house every weekend. They're together. They're hanging out en masse, not just 2 or 3 guys. It's like a group of them doing that. Plus, I got veterans, which the teams that I've had here that have been the best teams have had really good freshmen and really good veterans. Not one, well, I take that back. The year we started five freshmen, we went to the national championship game. But that team, if you remember, was an 8 seed and didn't start playing well until the last 2 weeks of the year, the last week of the season in our tournament. We lost to Florida in the final of the tournament. They had us an 8 seed. So that team was different. Most of the teams I've coached that have been really good, freshmen and veterans.
Talking to Coach Calipari. Coach, you've had some epic rivalries with other coaches. I know it's about the schools and the players, but I'm curious. Roy Williams stepped down last year at North Carolina. This year, as everybody knows, Coach K is leaving Duke. When you think about these things, do you ever stop and go, hey, I mean, I'm still going great. I'm still relatively young, but these guys are starting to drop off.
Yeah, I talked to Roy already. I've invited him to practice. He and I talk because there's some things I may try this year that I've asked him about. The rivalry with Duke, playing Coach K, I mean, you know what that game's going to be like. You know that they're going to be more than excited. Because, look, both of our programs, we know every game is someone else's Super Bowl. But when you're playing each other, you're both in the Super Bowl. And so that game is, we're going to find out about our team. He's going to find out about his. I'll find out about mine. But we still have the coaches in our league that we got to go against. And let me just say this. I learned early on, if you become obsessed with another coach, you lose. And you lose because you take your eyes off your kids and you're focusing on him. If you're obsessed with some other coach, you lose. So I say this, if they're obsessed with me, they're losing because you're taking your eyes off your coach. Now, I enjoy the rivalry of, coaching against Bill Self and Mark Few and Jay Wright and the guys in all those guys. It's great rivalries. But the reality of it is, I think for all of us, Tommy Izzo and I are friends. I just had Tom Izzo on the phone with Mark Few. But we go at each other when we play. But when it's over, it's over. I don't think any of us are obsessed with the other. Matter of fact, we all talk.
Before we go, at what point did you realize, because, I mean, the video will live in infamy with some of your incidences, but at what point did you realize maybe it's time not to let that bother me and start dialing it back to what's on the court?
Say what?
When I'm talking about in terms of rivalries with other coaches, you said you were – there was a time when you were obsessed with them and you lose, but
no,
now you're not.
The guy that taught me that was John Chaney.
Well, that's what I was thinking
of. John, he said to me early on, if you're obsessed with anybody, you lose. Because we wanted to catch Temple. That's what we were trying to do. And then we finally caught him. And then he and I had a scuffle. But it was, someone that had been my friend throughout the rest of his life, passed away. I went to the funeral. It was unbelievable. But you learn from those experiences and you just say, you know what? One, life's too short. I don't like playing against former assistants. I hate it because if they win, I'm sick. If I win against them or my team wins, then I'm happy, but I'm not happy. And I don't like coaching against people that I really don't like. I don't coach as good because I take my eyes off my team and I put it over there. So I try to make it so that I convince myself I like this person.
Talking to you is never disappointing. It's always such a treat. Coach, thanks for making time for us, and we will be watching very closely and wish you all the best.
Thanks, Paul.
What a pleasure. I mean, what an absolute pleasure to talk to Coach John Calipari. The buildup to basketball continues. Out of pocket later, Kelly Harper and Dawn Staley, two of the top two picks in women's basketball this year. And then tomorrow we'll talk to Robin Pricton from Mizzou, and of course a pretty well-known name, Scottie Pippen Jr. and Jaden Shackelford. And we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we are back. Great to have you with us. Bobby is up next. Good afternoon, Bobby.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Okay. About an hour or so ago, I don't remember how long ago it was, but there was a guy on the show, and he was talking about his Christmas wish list. And I said, well, if Paul is entertaining Christmas wish list, why shouldn't I call with mine? And here it is. First of all, I like to say, roll tide. The second thing I'd like to say is, number one on my Christmas wish list was for LSU to retain Coach O for at least another 5 or 6 years. That was number one. Okay, since I can't have that, here's number two. That they would hire Mike DeBose as their head coach.
He's busy right now coaching high school ball.
Yeah, but I think if they called him, he might entertain the thought. So let's hope that this happens. And a couple other things I wanted to say on a more serious note. I think that NIL, the transfer portal, one and dones, and sports betting. These are four things that at some point we're going to regret. They are all horrible for sports. I've been a sports fan. I'm 59. I was 58. I've been a sports fan since the 70s. 71, 72, somewhere around there. And I just don't feel the same about sports as I did back then. Everything has changed, and it's not for the better, because I'm just a pure sports fan. Yes, I'm an Alabama fan, Roll Tide to the bottom of my heart. But the thing about it is, even that isn't as much fun as it used to be. I mean, I can remember watching David Palmer. I mean, I know this is not that long ago, but watching David Palmer, a wide receiver, play quarterback and not do that bad. And I love sports at that time.
Remember when the Deuce got loose? He wasn't a bad quarterback at all. And you know, let me offer a couple of thoughts quickly here. I think we all pine for a different era, perhaps, but unfortunately, and I say this because it's true, you can't undo NIL, and you know the portal can be adjusted, but it's part of college football now. You know, the betting part is interesting. I try not to be too naive, but everywhere when I'm on these college campuses, I interact with the students all the time, and they're always asking me the same thing. Bobby, who do I like in the game tomorrow by the spread? I mean, they're not interested in who's going to win. They want to know, whether they'll cover or not. And a lot of young people are betting because it's so available and it's so easy.
Yeah, but I'd like to offer them something different. Just watch the game.
Well,
enjoy the competition. Let's not worry about all the other stuff. Just watch the game.
I greatly admire your idealism. and I hate, you mentioned Christmas wish list. I hate to be the Grinch that stole your Christmas, but hold on to that that idealism. But it's not changing, and I regret to be the Grim Reaper there delivering that unfortunate news. Jim is in Ohio. Hello, Jim. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I was talking about Christmas wish list. The Oklahoma and Texas coming to the SEC, I think that's a big Christmas present for the SEC.
I agree.
And the way I see it, I'm here in Ohio. I'm like the first Buckeye fan to come to the SEC because eventually everybody's going to be there. It'll be the big one because the only person or team stupid enough not to go to the SEC will be Michigan. Do you really think that this is good for football in general?
Well, it's necessary. Listen, what's good and what's going to happen in the reality are completely different. I'm still an idealist at heart, but I'm also a realist when coming to understand the business of what we're in. And I know where I work. I'm proud to be an employee here, but where I work is a big part of the college football machine. And anyone who doesn't think that is not paying close attention. It is big business, and that's really why sports betting is a big part. We may act like it doesn't exist in certain crevices of broadcasting, but it does. We can't run away from this. It's just part of reality. And I at the end of it, for all these things that we don't like, that it's not the same as it was in 71 or 81, there are still tens of millions of people watching it every weekend and enjoying it. So that's what I pay attention to. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Sean is in Athens. You're on the air. Go right ahead, Sean.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today, brother?
Sean, we're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, I wanted to thank you. Friday, you met me and my girlfriend, Stephanie. I kind of dragged her out there from studying, but she really enjoyed talking to you.
So was she the clinical pharmacy student?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I remember meeting her well. So I'm talking to Sean Friday afternoon during a break, and she is studying as we're talking. I mean, I admire, by the way.
Well, I can tell you this test she was studying for was, if she didn't pass it, she was getting kicked out of school.
Okay.
And I can tell you she made an A on that test today, Paul. So
I'm proud to hear
that. I guess it paid off.
Well, she I told my wife, who is in the medical field, I told her about meeting you guys. And she said that's exactly what I would be doing on Friday afternoon. So it's a good thing I didn't meet her while we were in college because I never saw a book on Friday afternoon, I can assure you.
That's for sure. Yeah, I don't see much of her anymore, but
let me give you some advice here, Sean, that hang in there because you've got a winner in that young lady. And thanks for the call, and thanks for you guys coming by and visiting. We have a lot more to do. Cecil Hurt will join us in the next hour. Can't wait to talk to him about Alabama football and the Tennessee rivalry. He's seen a few of those third, fourth, Saturday in October games. We are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Here giving you a preview of what you're going to see on the show tonight. We got to talk about the Colonel, Drea. You witnessed this.
I absolutely witnessed it. You know, I was really impressed, almost blown away by Zeb Nolan coming into the game for the final drive. It was absolutely remarkable. Led the team down the field for the winning touchdown. It was incredible.
The like smiles said it all.
I know, but we saw him. He was warming up, and we were like, is he going to go in?
Yeah.
And then, you know, the people in my ear, they're like, Drea, I don't know if he's going to go in for this last drive. And I'm like, guys, he's warming up. Like, he's about to go in. And sure enough, he went in, and it was just hit after hit, just really nailing his passes. They didn't pressure him at all at Vanderbilt. We were a little confused by that. He put the ball right where it needed to be and led them down the field.
I loved the celebration between Zeb and Doty when Zeb came off the field after that last touchdown, and they were both just so jacked up. Like, that's how you build a culture, and that's what you love if you're Shane Beamer, who is very excited to talk to you.
Oh, he was thrilled. And, you know, that was the thing when I talked to South Carolina all week, even with their ups and downs. They talked about the brotherhood, and they talked about the love. And, you know, I was really impressed by just what Coach Beamer had to say post game and just what he said about Zeb. It was awesome.
I'm so proud of that guy. He's just a great teammate. Stayed ready throughout the game. Coach Satterfield, we tell him there's going to be a movie made about him, and that was all part of the story right there, the way he won that thing. But he stays into it. He helps Luke throughout the game. And, you know, what a player. What a player.
I love Little Beamer getting held
through
that's the best kind of post game.
Oh yeah, it was great. They all just ran, jumped on him. He was, you know, he's like, oh gosh, and just the energy and the fans. It was great.
Great interview by you. Great by Coach Beamer saying that it's like a movie. Colonel Zebulia Nolan, Zeb Nolan coming in and saving the day, and that kind of got us thinking for the show tonight. Top sports movies. Now, we're not going to give our list away now because we want you to come watch our show tonight, but we're going to give a little preview of some of our top ones. So for you, what are some of the movies at the top of your must watch? Like, it doesn't have to be the most inspiring or anything like that. Just one that if it's on TV, you have to watch it.
I don't know. This is hard for me. So we're not giving away our list, right?
None
on our
list, but I think maybe one or two on our list is okay.
Okay. I'm going to say that if Dodgeball's on, like, I'm going to play it. If Dodgeball is on, I'm playing it because it's funny. There are so many quotable moments. Like, it's on in the background. I'm laughing. I'm joking.
Yeah.
Dodgeball. Dodge, duck, dip, dive, and dodge. Like, how do you
You nailed that on the first try,
did great.
By the way. There are people at home screaming, going like, how did you not say Rudy or something serious?
Right.
You
know,
and I will say our list is not super serious. We have some very inspirational sports movies on here, but I will say, I have a funny one. I won't give it away. I'll go more serious. Miracle. Miracle is such a good, like, if you're not ready to run through a wall after watching Miracle, and especially the scene where he's like, again, and he's making him sprint sprints across the ice. Like, my legs just hurt watching that scene, but also, like, what a great movie.
Also, I just think that hockey is so difficult. So anytime when I watch anything about hockey, I'm like, God, that's gotta be so hard.
Yeah.
Like, it's tough. So are you gonna pick a serious sports movie over a comedy? Like, if you had to pick?
It depends on my mood, because there's a movie on our list tonight that has caused a lot of issues that I put on the list that is a funny sports movie.
Okay.
And I feel like it's an extremely underappreciated sports movie. It's got a lot of big names in it, big sports names in it. I'll give you a hint. Mike Ditka's in this movie.
See, it's funny because I don't know, just for the people at home and Feinbaumers, I don't know what Alyssa's movies are, and she doesn't know what mine are. Anytime we do this, like, the reactions are real.
And
so
we argue.
I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm sure it's probably not a good movie.
Tweet at us what you think the best sports movies are. Maybe they'll make our last 10-minute list.
Her movies
the
are
show
probably
tonight.
Terrible. Also, not loving basketball. Don't tweet me about that. That is not the winning movie.
First of all, my movies are all incredible. You're going to see tonight. Out of Pockets on 7 o'clock Eastern Time. We'll see y'all then.
And back to the calls we go. Augie is in New Orleans. So hello, Augie.
Hey, Paul, I think some of your callers are hanging out together. I think that guy David was hanging out with Larry. Remember him? David's the guy who suggested Deion Sanders. I think that was a different guy. But anyway, David was the guy who asked you to sign his book. You said, sure, I can't wait. Next caller. You didn't even get the guy's address, Paul, so how are you going to sign his book?
Well, he's going to find me. By the way, not only that, remember the guy, did you hear the guy yesterday from Oxford who said, he's coming by this weekend and is going to get a tattoo live on the show.
I heard that. Are you going to film that?
We've heard today he's serious.
Well, do you know what the tattoo is going to be of? Is it going to be of your head or something?
Something related to me. Now, the question is, should I go ahead and do the same thing?
Where would you put it, Paul?
I don't know. Where do you? The good news for me is there's a lot of room because I don't have any. So take your pick.
I'm with you. I have no identifying marks like that. And it's better if you don't, because if you wanted to rob a bank, that would be one less identifier. They'd have to.
That would be pretty bad. You walk into the first Iberia Bank, and your name is on your cheek or something.
Well, people have done dumber things than that. But, Paul, it kind of got ghoulish today. I was listening, and there was this lady, Miss May, talking about somebody wanting somebody's plane to crash. What was that about?
Well, we had a guy named Ed, who I think he was in Mississippi, and he's referencing it may be the 71, 72, whatever, the Burt Jones famous LSU Ole Miss
game. I was in the south end zone where it happened, and that guy, Ed, you can tell he must be really old because there was 1 second left in the clock. It didn't go down to zero. Have you ever heard a game go down to zero when they run another play?
I mean, I have seen that picture about where it's 1 second, whatever the turn, the second behind or whatever. But was that 71 or 72? Do you remember, Augie?
71.
Okay.
Burt Jones. There was 4 seconds left. And they ran a play, threw a pass to a little guy named Jimmy Ledoux. He was about 5'2". He was a wide receiver.
Big guy.
Didn't score. We thought the game was over. 1 second left. Everybody's like, oh, my God, look at this. Then Burt Jones threw a pass to Brad Davis, who was running back out of the backfield, scored a touchdown, tied the game 16-16. With no time left, Rusty Jackson, of course, had to kick the extra point. So the game hinged on the extra point, and he made it, and the rest is history. So, but I didn't hear about the plane crash business.
Well, what he said was, I can't believe I'm saying this with a chuckle. He said until recently he hoped every time LSU was in a bus or a plane, and I don't even want to repeat it because somebody will take it out of context and insinuate that I'm suggesting that. But that's what he said.
I think the nut house in Mississippi is called Whitfield, and they might need to get in an open bed for Ed in Whitfield. But talking about plane crashes, Paul, you know what happened in 1977, 44 years ago today, right?
You know what? I do, only because I was flipping around the other night, and there was this special on Leonard Skinner, and I saw that. But other than that, I probably wouldn't have remembered it. But it was a day that fans have still not gotten over.
I mean, they probably, they talk about Southern Rockers. They might have been the best. And I know it's arguable, but 44 years ago, it just doesn't seem like that long ago.
No, I was watching this documentary. You can tell what I do in the football season to get away from sports. I saw a couple of minutes of it when I was working out, and they opened, I think, in 71 or 72 for The Who, and they were so dynamic that The Who, like, said, we want these guys gone. They were just, the place was going insane by the time The Who showed up.
You know what's really crazy about that is the plane that they were flying, a lot of the guys didn't want to fly it, and some some of the roadies didn't fly it because it was in such bad shape. And but you know what man almost...
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.